hope that not many fans think we didn't do anything to get better. We definitely made some additions that will make us better, and brought guys back, I think, that will make us better. And I mean, I think that this fan base has supported this group for a lot of years, and we hope that they continue to support this group, who is playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulders. Expectations have always been high the last couple of years for this team, and rightfully so. And I think when players, you know, can kind of, you know, say in front of the group that we haven't lived up to our expectations, I think you're proving people wrong more so than proving people right. I think that's where we're at. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. And it's weird. Every year is different. You know, every year guys get a little bit older, wiser, and they view things a little bit differently. So it's easy to see a team that just loads up on paper and, you know, they're going to automatically win the World Series. And that's never the case in baseball. So I think a lot of what we're talking about in camp with guys that have been here has been really good.
Warren Barker, the Blue Jays get back on the field tonight at 6:05 on Sportsnet against the Detroit Tigers. It'll be Bowden Francis on the mound for the Blue Jays. Kenta Maeda on the mound for the Detroit Tigers. Bowden Francis, his third start of the spring, as he looks to cement his spot on the roster, a spot that we think he's probably already got. But Bowden Francis gets a start tonight. That was John Schneider a couple of days ago. The Jays did not play yesterday. That was John Schneider a couple of days ago, Kevin, talking about expectations for this team. And my sense is we can probably save that clip and run it an opening day, because, I mean, there's nothing, a lot of it is a lot of Captain Obvious stuff, but it just does kind of reinforce, doesn't it, that the Jays realize where they are right now compared to where they've been. Nobody's gonna pick this team to win the World Series or go to the World Series. Let's put it that way.
Look, we want to be as optimistic as possible. Season hasn't started yet, but all due respect to John, like, you can't, his job is to take up for his players and you know, have his team and his organization side. But, I mean, when you don't bring in Ohtani, which, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, I'm sure Ohtani was probably going to the Dodgers regardless, and you don't get Soto, and then you fill in the blanks with Turner and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Yuriel Rodriguez, who a lot of people's never heard of, you can understand why fans would be like, hey, you know, what did we really do? And then the lasting thing that everybody remembered is, if you're a Jays fan, is Vladdy getting picked off and you scoring one run against the Minnesota Twins. So, I think there's quite a bit of doubt. Now, especially with Gausman, there's some unknowns. And Manoah, you don't really know what you're going to get because of injury and performance. And, you know, there's some – I don't want to – again, the season hasn't started yet. We really don't know how it's going to look. I think for me, it's a lot of the offense. I mean, Turner's a nice ad. He's not going to hurt you. You'd rather have him hitting cleanup than anybody else they have.
I was going to say, absent not getting Ohtani and Soto, I'm fine getting Turner.
Yeah.
I just, my only concern, and I think I've made this pretty clear all along, is Turner plus would have been nice. Turner plus somebody else would have been nice.
If the team uses this as motivation, sort of us against the world, so be it. This is baseball. I don't think this is basketball or football.
I'm with you.
You're not a quarterback on a football team, or, you know, the best player in basketball trying to lead your team to a championship. This takes a collection of a bunch of guys living up to what everybody thinks they are capable of doing at the highest level.
Yeah.
And a lot of things got to go right. I still think that I'm sort of right in the ballpark. They're fighting with six other teams as one of the two to try and get into the playoffs. So, you know, some things have to happen, and we'll see.
We're going to go to the back leg line first thing today, 416-413-3959. A reminder, we will not be on Friday. It's a Hockey Central trade deadline day, so we'll be given the day off and wait for the Leafs to make the trade that's going to increase their chances of winning the first round to maybe 2%. Just kidding.
Man.
No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, I'm trying to sell the trade deadline.
You didn't do a good job.
Well, I did, yeah, because
it's not a good job of that.
If you're not a Leafs fan.
Just say you hope every fan base gets what they want.
Oh, I don't, though.
Just say that.
I don't, because I don't like the Vancouver Canucks. I don't want their fan base to get anything. I just don't.
I didn't know you were a hockey fan. Snow?
I know what I don't like when it comes to hockey. So I hope the Canucks don't get anything.
Okay.
Arden Zwelling, an article on sportsnet.ca, really got my attention. Kevin Kiermaier talking about foot issues he had last year. Metatarsalia, which kind of sounds like a pasta to me. But anyhow, metatarsalia.
I'm sure if
like
you ask Kevin, he wish it was.
Yeah. It's a condition marked by persistent pain and inflammation in the ball of one's foot. Cannot be comfortable. Kiermaier revealed he developed the condition in both feet in July, proceeded to play on it. His off season, it was so bad that he couldn't walk barefoot in the Blue Jays clubhouse. I'm not certain you want to walk barefoot in the clubhouse, and that's just me. I
mean, clubhouse is pretty nice. You been in there?
It's yeah, but nice. I mean, I'd be worried about, you know.
They do a good job cleaning it up and keeping it nice.
That's why God invented shower
Don't
sandals.
Don't overthink it.
That's why God invented shower sandals. But anyhow, he needed a pair of padded recovery sandals. I'd like to get me some padded recovery sandals that he wore. That would be sweet.
They don't have those in minor leagues.
No, they don't.
It's called duct tape.
Part of his off-season, I would pay to see this, part of his off-season routine involves scrunching towels with his feet, pistol squatting on balance pads, I have no idea what that is, and picking up marbles between his toes.
Okay, Jeff.
I'm just saying, this is what it's an Arden's article. It's a great article.
It is a great article.
And it's neat finding out, I love getting details. I'd rather get details about what guys are doing in the off-season than, well, he showed up in the greatest shape in his life and he had some feet issues. This is great. This stuff tells me that.
Okay, I don't
My question, though, the same question you probably got is.
You want me to say it or do you want to say it?
You say it because I want you to get in trouble. I don't want to be the one getting in trouble.
Well, it almost make you wonder why they brought him back and gave him $10 million.
I mean,
he's a center fielder who you rely on to be one of the best, if not the best.
Are you saying they lost their marbles?
In baseball. And it just screams to me he's not going to play a ton. I love Kevin. He's a great dude, and he's a great center fielder, if not the best center fielder. And you'd almost want to pay to watch him play center.
Just another thing to worry about.
But, boy, when you hear that, I mean, it just screams Dalton Varsho playing center, and who's playing left now? Doesn't it? I mean, that just screams IKF and left field a lot. And
I'll say this, though. This organization,
fingers crossed, done that.
This organization, and you know, credit to them for this. Again, they did a good job keeping dudes in the field last year. They did a better job than most organizations keeping dudes in the field last year. So I know that they were 3 years ago. Remember, 4 years ago, everybody was coming on and laughing about the high performance department, and they had poor 107-year-old Kendrys Morales doing kettlebell squats and all this, and he was, you know, his vertebrae were popping all over the place, and we were going, this is dumb. Why don't they just do good old-fashioned baseball drills, you know, run poles and all this, and you know, it's just they're overthinking it, and it's just another excuse to employ khakis, et cetera, et cetera. You got to give the Jays high-performance folks credit because they've kept these guys on the field. But again, it gets back to this question. You know, we worried about the age of this team. This is not a young team. Mm-hmm. It's an old team. By today's standards, MLB standards, it's an old team.
Yeah, when you have problems with your feet, how do you hit? And in the first conversation we hear is, you know, he didn't get any interest because of the way he attacked offensively.
Yeah.
You know, put the ball in play, be the best nine-hole hitter in baseball, and now he's thinking he's got to try and hit more homers.
Well,
there's a lot there.
It does make you wonder, because one of the things Kevin Kiermaier did say is he was surprised that there was a lack of interest in him in free agency this year. I'm just throwing this out there.
Well, he played 55 games, too, in the second half last year. And you know, two-plus-two.
416-413-3959 is the back leg line. Jeff Passan will join us today. We're told he will join us.
He's a hard worker.
He was quite upset. He was apologetic yesterday and I just said, don't worry, dude, you got like a lifetime hall pass. And it gave me perfect opportunity to let you talk about spring training, which, by the way, your thoughts about, you know, spring training, good day, bad day, the day-to-day existence of spring training. We talk about a lot of stuff. I get more emails from, not DMs, I get more emails from like people in the office or people I know about you talking about your spring training experiences than anything else. People love that.
It's the worst part of my year.
People loved it.
Hands down, it's not even close. I can't wait for it to start and be over. I wish they were. I wish they went hand in hand. You just show up and you basically get off the plane and get back on it, and they just tell you where you're going. Because it is, for some, it's not a holiday. I mean, some of these guys who don't play and know they're making teams and are making tons of money, you know, it is borderline holiday. And then there's everybody else, and I was in that everybody else camp. It's tough.
All right, let's go to the back leg line. Mark from Cole Knox. Cole Knox, BC. Spell check, folks. Cole Knox. I was thinking, well, I mean, listen, there's some weird names in Canada. Mark from Cole Knox, BC.
Hi, guys. This is Mark from Cole Knox.
There you go.
I've been meaning to ask this for a while. I need to know if we included Alejandro Kirk in the deal for Varsho.
I believe I said Cole Knox.
Instead of Gabriel Marino, would we have gotten the deal done? And convince me that Kirk isn't seriously overrated. Okay, I know, Barker, you like him. Blair, what do you think? I mean, ask David Schneider. Anyone can get hot for a while till the league figures you out. So, and also, what do we have in Addison Barger? Can he hit in the big leagues, you think, Barker? What's this guy all about? I'm sure he looks good in his underwear, but can he hit? Okay, thanks, boys. Love the show. Keep up the good work. And I got to say, the two best-looking guys in television, Blair and Barker.
Wow.
Thanks, boys.
I mean, I've never been included in that list at any point in my life.
Okay, well,
I just want to bask in that.
Where do we start? Always lying. I mean, where do we start? The first question?
The trade. The trade was not going to happen unless it was Gabriel
Moreno. They would have done it.
Thank you.
That's his cut and dry.
I guarantee you the first thing wasn't, hey, we'll give you Gabriel Moreno for
Dalton. I know a lot of people like to say that the front office is not smart. They are. Yeah. Like they trust me, if they could have got that deal done by not giving up Moreno, they'd have done it.
By the way, I think it's the Athletic.
It started with Moreno.
I think it's the Athletic. And I'm going to apologize if it isn't, but they've got a terrific article in Gabriel Moreno talking to Mike Hazen, the Diamondbacks GM, just about him. And that deal isn't going to happen without Gabriel Moreno. Second part of the question about
overrated?
Alejandro Kirk. Is he overrated?
Read the stats of him defensively.
You got him.
No, it was given to you right here. I've highlighted it. Read those that I marked and read where he ranks.
Okay, he was one of the best blockers behind the plate in 2023.
Where did he rank? Like, you can read
second.
It there. Yeah,
after
second. And read the number. Like to hear it.
Blocks above average. What am I talking NBA? He was just behind Jakob Poeltl in blocks above average.
People like to hear that.
He was just behind Sean Murphy in blocks above average.
Okay, next one.
Whatever the hell that is. He was eighth in MLB among catchers in strike rate on frame pitches at 49.2%. Patrick Bailey was number one. Austin Hedges, Cam Gallagher, Miguel Amaya, and a bunch of guys you really don't care about. And then Alejandro Kirk, 49.2%. He threw out 10 base runners on steal attempts last season. That's 20th in MLB per baseball prospectus. He was credited with 6.0 deserved runs prevented, ranking 12th in MLB. I got no problem with Alejandro Kirk defensively.
Okay,
I really don't.
So the throwing out base runners, they were sixth worst in baseball at giving up stolen bases last year.
But that's not all on the catcher. And if you talk to Pete,
help though.
If you talk to Pete Walker,
he ain't helped.
If you talk to Pete Walker about steal, they would rather their dudes throw strikes and worry about the hitter.
No, they were going for punch-outs last year. Their mindset was, because we're not scoring runs, we'd rather strike a guy out if we give up a stolen base.
Exactly.
That's something this year they probably need to work on. Like, some guys are taking steps back.
They're not going to change. Score. None of those guys are going to get any better. Bassett, Gossman, they're in their 30s. They're not going to get better.
You can't throw a different pitch in a stolen base count. Like, you could do some things.
Not at this point.
You
can't. Career.
No. I like adjustments, adapt and overcome. Now, offensively, what do you expect? Like, do you expect what he did in 2022, where half of his games he caught? He played 139 games. He caught 78 of those. He had an OPS. Now, we talk a lot that we'd like to see Kirky have an 800 OPS.
Yes.
Just to sort of put a bow on that, for me, that's not happening. Two catchers in baseball in 2022 had an 800 OPS or higher. 2023, two catchers in baseball had an 800 OPS or higher. Neither one of those years, Kirky was one of those two guys. So to say it's very, very hard for a catcher to sort of be borderline both, that's my point. What's the expectations for Alejandro Kirk offensively? Is it somewhere between that? Okay, 2023, his OPS was 692. 2022, which was really good, he had an average of 285. His OPS was 787. For me, realistically, it's somewhere in between that. Say a 750 OPS, I think everybody would be happy with. And get the big hit. We're not talking about him getting 145 singles. Nobody wants to see him on first. But I would like to see him hit 300, which is what he did in 2022, with runners in scoring position and two outs. Where he's going to hit in the order, which is somewhere in the bottom part of that, he will have traffic. He will come up a lot of times with somebody standing at second and two outs. Those two stats. Have somewhere in a range of 750 OPS, not 800. It's hard to do that. Be good at blocking. Be good at trickery, tricking the blind guy standing behind you. And getting a big hit when it matters. Again, nobody wants to see Kirky with a leadoff RBI or a leadoff single. I don't, get the big hit when it matters and have the OPS.
Addison Barger.
He's a left-handed hitter with a lot of holes in his swing.
Be fun to see him make the team. I think he'd be a fun watch, but you're right. He's got a lot of
holes. Is he fun?
I think he could hit some monstrous home runs. I just think he could hit some absolutely
monstrous. How many home runs did he hit last year?
No, I'm saying I don't. Do I think he will do it? I don't know if he'll do it. I'm saying I would. He's the type of guy who would be fun to watch. He would be a fun offensive player. I think he would be a fun offensive player. That's just me. I like guys that hit home runs.
I think you can't teach power. I think he's got that. You could build around that. You could build off of that. Is he making the team? Probably not. So maybe middle of the season, somebody gets hurt.
I mean, I would think he would be a candidate if an everyday player went down, he might be a candidate to come up and, you know, if somebody else has to move into right field for George Springer.
Some guys would have to get hurt. I mean, they got IKF, they got Biggio, they'll put Schneider in the outfield like they got other options first. But, yeah, he can hit homers, I think.
Al from Mississauga.
Al. Hi, this is Al from Mississauga. Just want to say that I think the Jays are definitely worse this year than they were last year. Second base and third base, who knows who's going to play there. And I'm hearing that Kevin Biggio is the first call to play the outfield when the other guys set out. Big mistake. I think a lot of the people are going to eat crow with Kevin Biggio. A half a year out of 2 years isn't good enough to make him a ball player. He's a mediocre ball player and no more than a utility player. Not a starter every second day. Thanks for calling. Enjoy listening to you guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Kevin Biggio stuff's your fault.
Huh?
Because all year last year, like it was just pour more fuel on that fire. You know, talk about the 25th and 26th guy, like they're the worst players that's ever been in the big league. So I'm going to let you answer this question about Kevin Biggio and for once take up for him.
No. He's an okay utility guy. I don't mind having him move around. Right now to me, on this team, he's your starting second baseman. There'll be a platoon situation. I'm fine with him there. I'm really fine with Kevin Biggio hitting eighth in my lineup on a good offensive team. I don't think you can count on him. I just don't think you can count on him to be a major contributor. But he's fine. I do disagree about the fact about him being a bad ball. No, he is a good ball player. He is a useful ball player. I'm not saying that. I'm just not saying. I just don't know if I see him as an everyday guy. But on this team right now, yeah, he'll be the opening day second baseman. I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. He won't kill me in the field.
Yeah, you can't have nine Mike Trouts on your team. Like there has to be those, you know, the lunch pail guys, the guys that are going to do little things. A good base runner. He made some adjustments offensively, stand a little taller. That gives him a chance to cover more quadrants against velocity, which is what you want. He's hitting at the bottom of the order. Yeah. Defensively, when is he going to hurt you?
No, he's not.
Catch the ball right at you. He'll play every time he plays an outfield position. I guess you wouldn't want to see him.
No, he makes the plays, though. He makes the plays he has to make in the outfield.
He'll hit the cutoff guy. He'll He'll catch the fly ball he's supposed to catch. He plays first, maybe better sometimes than Vladdy does. Like,
yep.
I don't get the hatred for Kevin Biggio, but
I don't think it's hatred. I think people part of the issue is it has nothing to do with Kevin Biggio, but part of the issue is he came up with Bo and Vladdy, and he wasn't on the same level as them. But the organization made it pretty clear that they liked him, and his name was always mentioned. That's all. I don't think people hate Kevin Biggio at all.
It's not his fault his last name's Biggio.
People have said, well, if you didn't know that last name,
it does a little bit. Absolutely. It's not his fault. Like, he's a solid big league player.
Yeah, he's not solid. He's fine. He's a guy that would make just about any team. Just about any team would have a spot for Kevin Biggio. Andrew from Keswick. Keswick. I just like saying that.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to leave a quick message. Just listen to the podcast from Wednesday the 6th. It was a great second half of the show. I really enjoy hearing Kevin's take as a former player on, you know, the minor league stuff and everything. And I kind of want to look and find YouTube videos of him and just kind of sharing his experiences that can be seen, because it obviously baseball means a lot to him and baseball means a lot to everybody that listens to this show. So keep up the great work with that. The second thing I wanted to mention is with Netflix talking about doing a documentary on the Montreal Expos, Jeff, I was wondering if obviously we'd have some interest in that. Do you have any involvement in it? Are you interviewed at all? And I can't wait to hear about that. And obviously growing up just as the team was ending and the season that could have been in 1994 with the strike. I had a teacher who was obsessed with the Expos and was disappointed when that strike happened. But, yeah, can't wait. Like I said, keep up the great work. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew in Keswick.
Yeah, thanks, right. Andrew. I haven't heard from the Netflix people. They'll only have me on if they want the truth. I mean, if they want somebody to come on and say that Jeffrey Lurie and David Sampson screwed the city of Montreal, get someone else. You can find someone else to do that. You want somebody who's going to come on and tell you the real reason the team ended up leaving town was because there was an absolute lack of political will, because there was an awful lot of backstabbing in the provincial government, because nobody in the Montreal business community stepped up at any point. Because the minority partners who were involved in the team basically were only interested in free trips to spring training. I mean, I could go on and on. Now, if you want somebody to come on and tell you that there's a lot of blame to go around for the Expos leaving town and that Jeffrey Lurie maybe deserves 10 to 15% of it, well, come on. But if you want somebody to come on and say that Jeffrey Lurie and David Sampson stole the team out of the city, you can find someone else to do that, because there are people who have that opinion. And,
there you go.
Dan from Calgary.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Dan.
Dan from Calgary, Alberta. And I just wanted to ask what your guys' opinions are about Blake Snell in the context of the Blue Jays, given that the pitching rotation seems to be maybe a little bit slim as far as depth is concerned. Kikuchi's contract is going to be ending fairly soon. And kind of, you know, reassuring Blue Jays fans that we are trying to make value adds to the team to make them better and to maybe fit with this new persona of defense and pitching first as opposed to offense first. Do you think Blake Snell would be a good fit, especially that he isn't signed, and given the whole Boris situation around, you know, maybe the contract's not being as rich as they could be? Is he a good ad? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
I'll take this first, Kevin. Ross Atkins is pretty clear. They will add somebody, but they'll have to subtract somebody in order to get it done. So if you're looking to add Blake Snell at $30 million, you're going to have to get rid of a couple of guys to do it. Short answer, not happening. Even if Kevin Gausman were to be shut down for 3 months, I just don't see there's any way.
Would it be a great fit? Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, it'd be a great fit.
A couple of Cy Youngs, no question.
Yeah, it'd be an awesome fit. I mean, he could be a difference maker. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I mean, he'd be a difference maker for just about any team in baseball.
It almost sounds like he doesn't want to come back to the American League East. He likes the West Coast, and
yeah, kind
for whatever
of
reason. And it doesn't seem like he's afraid to sit if he has to sit. So Look, again, it's very hard.
I mean, he's used to it. He only pitches 5 2/3 innings anyhow, so he's used to it.
Well, it's very hard for us to answer this. We have no idea what they want to spend or willing to spend, and it's very hard for us to answer these questions. I mean, we're just going by the obvious of what they basically are done.
Well, Ross has come out and said. Yeah. I mean, he said in his first spring training interview that we're at the stage right now where to make a major add, there would have to be a major subtraction. It's clear.
And I do think sometimes you got to read between the lines. Whenever they're tooting the Mitch Whites of the world.
Yeah.
He go get some starts.
I don't even know where this. Maybe we should have screened these calls.
We got some pretty good people.
We got good people, but I'm a little. This could. I don't know where this is going to go. Billy from Markham. I'm just going to stand back with you.
Oh, Billy's good.
Hey, fellas. Billy from Markham calling. No complaints at all about Jeff, but Kevin, here we go again. Are you telling me you think the Yankees are going to do it again this year?
No, not again.
Did I not
they didn't do it last
you
year.
With that last year telling you about the Orioles? Here, let me make it simple for you guys this year. Mm. Very simply put, the Baltimore Orioles are the best team in baseball by a mile, and the second best team in baseball
Save
are
this,
the
Lance.
Norfolk Orioles. They're AAA club. They are loaded and should run away with this division. That's it, guys.
All right, we got to save that. And we're going to bring that up the next time Billy comes on and says, I told you that the Braves are the best team in baseball. I think the Orioles are the best team in the AL East, best team in baseball. Not yet, but, we talked about Blake Snell. If they pick up the phone and get Blake Snell on, now you're talking about possibly. I have some concerns about their pitching. I think they're the best team in the AL East. The Yankees do. I mean, all I can remember, you know what my image is of spring training so far is that home run Juan Soto hit off the scoreboard, the opposite field. But I don't think the Yankees or the Orioles are the best team in baseball. I think the best teams in baseball right now, if I had to rank my top three, I'd go one Atlanta. I'd go. Probably Philadelphia 2.
Oh, gosh.
And maybe Houston 3.
Oh, man,
you rank your top three.
Every once in a while. Like, every once in a while, you say something that's just like,
Okay, you rank your top three.
I know why you say some of the things you say, but...
You rank your top three. Yeah, Go ahead, rank your top three.
For you not to put the Dodgers in the top two is just, sometimes it's just.
They haven't won anything.
They have three players in their lineup that are in the top five players in baseball.
They had two in their lineup that are in the top five players last year and didn't win jack.
They won 100 games last year. They won 110.
They didn't win jack. So
they
what?
Won 100. We're not talking about the play. You're talking about
I'm
regular
talking about
season.
The playoffs. I don't care about
What's
regular
the
season.
Playoff? Yeah, you do. Because, that who's your daddy thing? Well, the Phillies could say to the Braves. Yeah, so that regular season thing, yeah, the Braves are going to win the East by a lot. The Dodgers going to win the West by a lot. The Orioles and the Yankees.
You got way more faith.
You could argue.
You got way more. I think I
go by good players and borderline great players.
I think the Dodgers pitching is going to, they're going to have a bunch of dudes who are going to be hurt all the
time.
And
when you got three Hall of Fame players on your team in their prime, it's hard to pick against the Yankees. Again, this is going to be a good conversation all year, and I expected that from Billy. I knew that.
Yeah, we knew that was coming.
You
as soon as he knew it was Billy.
Because it's easy. Like, that's an easy call, right, to pick the Orioles.
As the best team in the – that's it not – that it's takes easy a certain amount of –
Because we're in the –
It takes some gonads to do that.
No, we're in the youth age now of talent and prospects. And, there's – This is why the East is the East.
See, I don't want the Dodgers to be good. So that's part of it.
I hate to break it. The Astros the are Dodgers really good, too. Like, the Astros are going to win the West.
I'd like to see the Dodgers implode.
It's not going to happen. I mean, unless four or five people get hurt. And
by the way, did you know it's Joe Carter's birthday today?
Happy birthday. Joe's always been nice to me.
Yep.
He would never pick the Phillies over the Dodgers. No. Now, when playoffs come, yeah, it's a little different. Now, I'm not saying because of fan bases. Jesus. We're talking regular season here.
You drive me nuts
here.
Sometimes.
Regular season.
You drive me nuts sometimes.
Oh.
Regular season doesn't matter. It's what you do in the playoffs. The end of the year.
So the regular season for the Blue Jays means nothing. Well, it's again, it's like sometimes you say things, you say it before you think it. Think it first and then say it.
Someone's just got to have an opinion.
Even though they're bad.
Doesn't matter.
Like,
No one's gonna remember anyhow.
Nobody will.
Start of the season, I'll have changed my top three teams around at the start of the season again. Jeff Passan is ESPN's MLB insider. He's got a terrific piece on ESPN.com about Chris Sale. Some interesting thoughts from Chris Sale about Chris Sale's career.
Speaking of regular season mattering, right there, that's a guy.
Okay, yeah, sometimes. You just got to remember how good guys have been in their career, because all you think about is injuries. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, Passan joins us to talk about that. We'll talk about the Jays. We'll talk about Blake Snell, Scott Boras, and will there be an impact on free agency next year? And we're going to talk about a Canadian major leaguer that we're going to be spending a great deal of time talking about over the next 2 years. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Major League Baseball decided this year that this is something that I've really looking forward to, something really happy they've done. They're going to have what they call spring breakout games. And basically, they're going to take teams composed of prospects, top prospects from every organization. And there's going to be one game during the spring involving those players. The Jays and Yankees prospects will play on March 16th at 4 p.m. After the Jays and Yankees are done. And the Jays have released their roster for that game. And I'll run through it very quickly. Phil Clark, Edward Duran, Michael Minoso, Brandon Barrera, Connor Cook, Adam Mako, Landon Marudis, Fernando Perez, Kendry Morales, that would be great. Kendry Rojas, CJ Van Eyck, Yosfer Zulueta, Addison Barge, Emmanuel Beltre, Spencer Horwitz, Leo Jimenez, John Kasevich, Arjun Namala. Looking forward to seeing him. Damiano Palmigiani, Sam Shaw, Tucker Tolman, Juan Gala, Ponte, Jace Bo Rofin, Emmanuel Bonilla, Desan Brown, Gabriel Martinez, Alan Roden. That is the players for the Blue Jays who will be taking part in that game. Let's bring in Jeff Passan, ESPN's MLB insider. Mr. Passan, how are you, sir?
I appreciated how you plowed through those names, even if you didn't know how to pronounce them.
He nailed it.
I nailed them all, but a couple of them. Kendrys Morales, I kind of didn't.
Yeah, you butchered that one, too.
I did.
It was interesting not to hear Ricky Tiedemann's name on there, because I know there are some tippy-top prospects, even guys who, like, are going to be in the big leagues this year who are on some other rosters.
Yeah,
so,
that's interesting.
Injuries, I think. Scared. He may get hurt again. I think that's bubble wrap.
I was going to say, at this point in
seems to be a theme of the Blue Jays, does it not?
Oh, yeah. One of the oldest teams in baseball. I can hear those old joints creaking right now. No, I mean, yeah, at this point, I'm at that point in spring training where you just start the season. Never mind the rest of it. Nothing good can happen from this point on. Hey, before I want to talk about the Chris Sale article and some of the other things you've done, but I love the spring break. I love the prospects game. I love this idea about spring breakout games as well. I'd like to see more of them. I'd like to see more of them.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is almost like the ideal version of what some people in baseball want the minor leagues to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys knew this, but most of the audience, I don't think does. Major League Baseball cut the number of prospects you can have domestically in any organization from 175 to 165 this year. And there are plenty of people in the game who think 165 is way too much, that it would be better if you just had a much smaller minor leagues and you were able to focus attention, training, and coaching on a finite number of players and only the best of the best. Now, for one, I think that's silly. As many people should be playing professional baseball as you can possibly have. The volume of prospects. We remember what the Dodgers did when they had 15 farm teams back in the 1950s under Branch Rickey, but the idea that you can concentrate the best group and have them face off against another, it's cool. And I wish that there were more of these, frankly. I think you're exactly right. And but it's not just the fans who are going to benefit from this, the kids too. Like, they're going to get to, you know, when you get to the big leagues, you are playing the best of the best. Well, in the minor leagues, play the best of the best. That's great. It's good for competition. It's good for getting to know who some of these guys are. I think it's a total win-win.
Jeff, it's almost like they really know how to sort of wean out people they don't think are ever going to be big leaguers. When I played, it was numbers. I mean, you hit 300, you hit 25 or 30 homers in minor leagues, you're going to the next level. You don't have to do that anymore. Like, they're so good at, you know, not even having to send a scout. You know this, that to be able to judge players' bat speed, how they look, optics-wise, like, this just will tell you. Like, I don't think it should ever happen, but, boy, sometimes I think it's just good to see a bunch of great players playing everybody else's organization's great players a lot.
Yeah, it's what, you know, it's essentially what travel ball can be like in high school. And it's you know, trying to weed things out. And the one flaw in that is it's always cool when a 20th rounder turns out to be a dude. And you don't see that very often. And that, you know, that's the argument from people who don't want the minor leagues to be chopped any further. That baseball, I think, as much as any other sport, is the one where a guy who is an afterthought can blossom into something really great later in his career. And some guys just take more time. Some guys, the path is a little bit longer and more tortuous than it is for others. And do you want to force those guys to go to independent ball and try and scratch out livings that for many are really, really difficult financially to do to chase their dream? No, like that's not helpful at all. But for the most part, with a pretty high degree of confidence, I think the day that MLB teams draft a guy, they have a sense of if he's going to be a big leaguer or not.
Yeah, I mean, when the Jays spend all this money on this minor league complex and their pitching lab and their hitting lab and everything, I talked to somebody in the organization about, are we eventually just moving to the point where every team's going to have like 60 players, and you're going to keep them in labs, yep. You're going to break them into teams.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And you know what his answer was? He said, we would do it tomorrow, except
yep.
The political blowback in you know, rolling up minor league teams from
bingo.
The senator and, you know, the gentleman from South Carolina. He may not like the fact that you're rolling up a couple of minor league teams in South Carolina. And I really do think that's the only thing keeping the minor leagues going right yep. now. That's just me.
Yeah. And I, listen, I don't think it's bad to have the gospel of baseball spread, you know, from 160 teams in the minor leagues. Like there are a lot of cities where if you lost minor league baseball, I think baseball has had a slow degradation as a sport over the last, you know, 2 to 3 decades, where the resonance just isn't the same as it once was. And you want to talk about, you know, losing footprint and resonance, go ahead and plop all the minor leaguers in an organization in Dunedin or in Lakeland or in Port St. Lucie or hell, anywhere in Arizona. And yeah, baseball fans are going to make those pilgrimages to go see them, but you better be a hardcore fan if you're going to be going down and spend some time there, as opposed to going and watching a game in your backyard, which, you know, in a lot of the small towns that still have minor league baseball is a real thing and a real valuable thing too.
Jeff, it's March 7th and we still have JD Martinez, Blake Snell, and Jordan Montgomery unsigned. Much of the discussion this year has been about Scott Boras and his free agents and an inability to get long-term deals as players. People are talking about collusion. I think maybe there's collusion against Scott Boras. Is this going to change anything substantially next offseason? Because you do have a lot of Boris clients that are free agents again next offseason. But I'm wondering if maybe, you know, a guy like Alex Bregman, for example, if maybe Alex Bregman will take a look at what happened and he won't be more inclined now to sign an extension with the Astros. Do you see guys changing their approach to spring training or to free agency because of what happened this year? Or is it going to take a couple of years of that before guys change their approaches?
I think probably more the latter, because let's recall there was an off season half a decade ago or so that was pretty similar to this one in terms of, you know, a handful of Scott Boras clients who were free agents for longer than expected and who didn't necessarily get the money that they were hoping to or anticipating, the industry anticipating that they would. Mike Moustakas was the most glaring one out of those. He turned down a qualifying offer for $17 million and ended up signing for $6.5 million with the Royals. Well, then he turns around that next offseason and gets a big four-year deal, and all was well with him in the end. And the year after that, I believe, was the year Scott Boras went to the winter meetings and on consecutive days got $245 million for Steven Strasburg, $324 million for Gerrit Cole, and $245 million for Anthony Rendon. He did almost $1 billion worth of contracts over a 72-hour span. So his free agent class, Boras is, I mean, next offseason, includes Juan Soto and Corbin Burns and Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman, and he will do $1 billion+ easy. So I don't think this is going to change the calculus at all, but I think it's also not just the Boras guys who are suffering from this right now. Eddie Rosario signed a minor league deal with the Nationals yesterday. Eddie Rosario had he was a solid big leaguer for the Braves last year. Ahmed Rosario signing for $1.5 million. Like, it's not just the top end that has gotten squeezed a little bit. You know, you can argue that Boras anchors too high and holds out for too much, and ultimately, you know, the clients suffer because of it. But as much as anything, I think the middle class is what's being affected. And that's where the alarm bells go off to me. If the middle class is getting squeezed, that's the sort of thing that causes consternation among the player group, because there's only a few handfuls of Blake Snells and Jordan Montgomery's in baseball. There are a lot of handfuls of middle-class guys. And if there's fear among them that free agency is not just not the Valhalla that they were hoping that it would be, but something that simply does not work in favor of the guy in the middle class, that's where you get labor discord. That's where you get an angry base of, rank and file guys. And that's where, after the 2026 season, Jeff, you could have the sort of labor fight that makes what happened, you know, back in 2022 look like a game of patty cake.
Okay, JP, two-part question.
JP.
Jeff Passan.
Okay.
Oh, he threw me for a loop there.
Okay, Jeff, easy question. Are the Jays a playoff team? There you go.
No, I don't think they are right.
Wow. Why?
Well, let's look at the six spots. You have one from the Central that's guaranteed. You have one from the West that's guaranteed. I think in the East, the Orioles are a clearly better team than them. I think they are in the mix with the Yankees right now. And you can make the argument that the Jays, you know, especially I let's put it this way. If you were to ask me this question before Gausman and Manoa's, you know, shoulders flared up and before Tiedemann was not getting through a spring training without something, I may have been more inclined to say yes. So this may be recency bias. And let me say this explicitly. I think the Jays do certainly have a shot to be a playoff team, and it would not surprise me if they were. I just think right now there are other teams that are stronger than they are. And if the Jays went out and won 90-something games this year, it wouldn't surprise me because they have the talent to do so, but so do other teams. I didn't mention the Rays. You look out west, the Rangers won the World Series last year. The Astros, on paper, are every bit as good as they are. And I think Seattle, after a pretty rough start, had an excellent offseason, and the Mariners are a better team than they were last year. So this is as much about the American League not having teams like the Braves or the Dodgers that have a chance to be super teams, but I think there is more quality in the American League in terms of depth than there is on the other side. And, I think it was Jeff who said it earlier, like, there's a lot of depth in the American League, and the Jays are old, and yep. I just don't bet on old teams. It's a fool's errand to do that because old teams tend to be the ones that get hurt, and injuries are the things that tend to be the difference between winning teams and non-winning teams. And the idea that the Jays were the only team in baseball last year that had, I believe it's true, the only team in baseball last year that had at least four guys start 30 mm-hmm. games, that's if you're not going to repeat that and you're going to have to look for pitching depth in an organization that in terms of major league pitching depth is pretty darn shallow, you better make up for it in other areas. And I just don't know that they improved enough on the hitting side to make up for that. Mm.
Mr. Passan, we just got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you about Owen Casey. We'll do that later on. But very quickly, Chris Sale. I don't know if I'd say this acquisition flew under the radar, but reading your article and kind of, rejigging my memory as to how good Chris Sale is, that could be a nice ad for Atlanta, couldn't it?
Yeah, it really could, but we also have to keep in mind that this is a 34-year-old guy who hasn't had a full season in the last 5 years. And so you're dreaming on a lot. You're banking on a lot. I will say this, stuff looks really good. And I think his approach this winter in terms of how he trained and what he prioritized in order to keep his body healthy and his arm in good shape was very sound. And that he feels invigorated going from a Boston team that's finished in last place three out of the last four seasons to an Atlanta team that has a chance to be an absolute juggernaut. And beyond that, Alex Anthopoulos, I think he prioritized leadership, which yeah. is something that's a hard thing to do. It's hard to quantify who's a guy like that. But I don't think anyone who has seen Chris Sale compete would ever question mm-hmm. the ability that he has to do that is greater than most. And, whether it's Spencer Schoenbach or Owen Murphy or J.R. Yep. Ritchie. And by the way, Owen Casey is awesome.
Got to scoot, Jeff.
He's going to be a really good big leaguer.
Thanks, man. Be well.